Welcome in to Bears Weekly, a Chicago Bears Network production. Download the Chicago Bears official app, brought to you by Verizon, to follow the team on the go. Bears Weekly is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Bet Rivers, CDW, Connie's Pizza, and Miller Lite. Now it's time for Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, on the new Bears Radio Network.
Veteran defensive lineman comes aboard today. Another free agent acquisition by general manager Ryan Poles. His name is Rasheem Green. We'll break him down here on ESPN 1000 and the Chicago Bears Radio Network. My name is Jeff Joniak. Joining me from SiriusXM NFL Radio is Jim Miller, the former Chicago Bears quarterback tonight. Jim, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling great, Jeff.
And yeah, it gets exciting, you know, 3 weeks away from the draft. And it just, you know, the more, you know, teams visiting with these players and you try to target where they're going to go. So it's exciting, fun time of year because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot. We're going to break some of that down. We'll talk about the new addition as well. And we have producers helping us out as always. Our executive producer of the Bears Radio Network, Eric Ostrowski, Charlie Bevins, spinning the dials for us as well. And thanks as always to Bears producers Dan Brilli and Jordan Tredup. So letting the dust settle a little bit after the owners' meetings that we gathered at in Arizona, here's what you're looking at. 10 picks, including number 9 overall and 4 inside the top 64. Jim, when I look at what is ahead here in the next 3 weeks, is that three-player stretch from the second to early third round, an area where the Bears should be able to either make moves up or down and get a group of guys, at least 4 guys, 3 of which I hope is going to be on the line of scrimmage, either side of the ball. That's from my perspective. How about you?
Yeah, that's what I've been, we've said it pretty consistently. I think, I'm not opposed to if they were to go to one of the top corners that are there. I do think they need one more corner because that way you could kick Kyler Gordon inside to play nickel full-time. And most time you are in nickel defense with all the 11 personnel that teams are playing. But I've been saying it for quite a while. War daddies. Yeah, they need war daddies up front. Defensive line, offensive line, and I think everybody's thinking about the tackle spot. There's some really good tackles in this draft. We'll get into some of the interior offensive linemen, some of the great tackles that are coming out in this year's draft, and I think the Bears will have an opportunity to really target the guys that they want.
And the idea of taking the best player available, regardless of your need, I tell you, that's also a tantalizing aspect of it. The best teams do that. There is always some lean towards the need, but man, if there's a player in your gut you think is going to be great at a position you're already pretty thick at, do you pull the trigger on that regardless at number 9 because it is a top 10 pick and you're hoping that player becomes a Pro Bowl player for the next 8 to 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, there are people that are saying that about like Bijan Robinson.
Right.
That came out today about the running back who probably will be the first running back taken. Some, you know, you see some mocks, they got him in the 20s. I took him last week. Pat and I did our mock draft. I took him to Seattle at 5 because I think he's a good player. And everybody's like, no, they'll never do that. They took Kenneth Walker, who's a Doak Walker Award winner last year. Pete Carroll, they want to run the football. He's not opposed to having two Doak Walker Award winners on his team. You know, Rashad Penny's no longer there. Carson is retired from football because of a neck injury. They got the DJ Dallas, I think, behind Kenneth Walker right now. You know, I think he could go as high as 5 to Seattle when you look at that great player from Texas.
The Bears did add Rasheem Green. We alluded to that. 25 years old, be 26 here coming up next month, or in May, rather, and a third-round pick in 18 out of USC by Seattle. That train from L.A. to Seattle with Coach Carroll certainly is significant with players from that university. Signed a 1-year with Houston last season and played the entire year, Jim. Played about 50% of the snaps and was productive. 52 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks. 2 pass breakups, 10 sacks the last 2 years. But I look at this, he's 6'4", 280. That's good size who can kick inside for some mismatches with guards.
Yeah, and obviously Pete Carroll, when he was in Seattle, he said they really couldn't find a home for him. But he has been a productive player and is more of a rotational guy. And like you said, I believe gives you that position flexibility you're looking for where you can kick him inside. And he can provide that pass rush ability. So again, and signing guys like him, like you said, you're trying to fill holes that maybe the draft, if you can't fill them all in the draft, it allows you to, like you said, maybe target some guys that you're looking for. You know, so You know, do I think the Bears with those 10 picks, they'll be able to move around? I absolutely do. I don't think you want to draft all, you know, all 10 players. I think you'll be able to parlay some things to target the guys you want. But signing a guy like Rasheem Green, you feel you've got that area covered where maybe you can take the best player available if a pass rusher is not there in your spot and what you're looking for and where you're sitting at your potential spots of picking.
Yeah, so right now, three new additions up front already, not including the draft, and I suspect that there will be more, obviously, not just in the top part of the draft, but they just need depth. There's this need for rotational depth in there, but you got Rasheem Green, DeMarcus Walker, Andrew Billings added through free agency, all on nice deals. Justin Jones had a very nice year last year. On the last year of his two-year contract with the Bears for this year, played three technique. They pushed him outside a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. Last season, just to see what it would be like, and he did a nice job. So you got Trevis Gibson in a big year for him. He did not get the production like he did the year before in terms of sacks and forcing fumbles, but that's what you're working with right now on the defensive line.
Yeah, and you just wonder, you know, how it all fits, because we said pass rushers. You know, you look at the pass rushers that are going to be available, obviously Will Anderson, everybody assumes he'll be the first guy taken. Then you got Wilson, and of course you got Murphy, some like Lucas Van Ness. How comfortable do you feel playing a guy who's only played 2 years of college ball and wasn't a starter there at Iowa? I'm sure they're doing their homework on him. And then, of course, there's Jalen Carter, who's the anomaly of Jalen Carter. Now, supposedly, he won't even talk to teams that aren't picking outside the top 10. I mean, what if a team wants to trade up to that Bears spot at number 9, you know, in order to take a player like him? Or would the Bears, if he falls to 9, he could address some issues on their offensive line? But you got to do your homework with the off-the-field stuff. So there's a lot on Brian Poole's plate right now to get all this information that he needs and meet these guys to see if they're Chicago Bears players that he wants representing this football team.
I also don't want to forget Dominique Robinson, who is still in that process of developing, learning, didn't get a lot of time at that position in his entire career, but has the body to intrigue you, no question. He made that first sack splash in his debut against San Francisco in the rain. That's a guy to look at as well. And we'll talk more about this defensive line thing and Jalen Carter, get some more perspective from Jim. We're going to take a break here on Bears Weekly on ESPN 1000 and the Chicago Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Wrapping up the business portion of the season, now into the deep of the NFL draft. Top 30 visits, private workouts. Jeff Joniak, Jim Miller from SiriusXM, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. The former Bears quarterback, going to go back to Jalen Carter. How do you feel about it if you're an executive, a team, if he says, okay, nobody, I'm not coming if it's outside the top 10 for right now? I'm certain, though, if something happened before the draft, that he would certainly make that trip if somebody moved into that top 10. But how would you feel about it as an executive, or from your experience just talking to execs around the league over the years, how they feel about something like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's there. To me, there's no upside with the statement that they made, and that's Drew Rosenhaus now that's representing him. I find it hard to believe that Drew Rosenhaus would want to limit his clients' opportunities, because if there is a team that is willing to trade in the top 10, and I'll just use the Bears as an example, that the Bears say at 9, hey, we're willing to trade out here. We feel like in the mid-teens is where those tackles are going to start going, and maybe the Bears could move down a little bit and the team trades in. I think that would be not a good move for Jalen Carter to make that statement. Supposedly, he will only work out in his hometown. You know, is he top 10 talent? I think everybody agrees that he is. You know, I think we know what a dominant player he was at Georgia, but there are some concerns there now. I mean, wasn't truthful to the police. Didn't, you know, he knows that workout, that pro day is coming. I mean, if anything, why didn't he just delay the pro day? You know, come back when he was in shape. You know, he wasn't even able to finish that pro day. And so I think you're going to have some teams that are really doing their due diligence, and I think he's limiting himself just to those top 10 teams because, you know, I think we know for a fact, like the way the Bears practice now under Coach Eberflus with that hits philosophy, you got to make sure that he can come in that locker room and he's got to be a worker bee now. I think that's the expectation. Or say a guy like Dan Campbell, where you know the expectation is there for the Detroit Lions and how hard they practice. And, you know, are the guys going to be willing to accept this player coming in? Do you have veteran players around him that can bring him along? Or is it going to be done by the coaches? And I think we know the Bears have a lot of young players right now, and can they police that locker room yet? I would say no. So when a guy's not given 100%, you know, can other guys lay into him to get the most out of him? So I think all those things are being explored by Ryan Poles, and, you know, they have the benefit of being in the top 10. So they can get all those answers that they're looking for. They met with Jalen Carter, and, you know, we'll see what the evaluation is.
Yeah, some others on that top 30 list. Tyree Wilson, the Texas Tech edge rusher. He's an intriguing player, too, because, again, fits into that long, big, and strong category off the edge.
Yeah, very good player for the Texas Tech Red Raider. 6'6", 271 pounds. Pat thinks he's like a Calais Campbell type of player. It just tells you how strong he is, as a player. 44 games played, has 28 starts and 32 tackles for a loss and 17 sacks. So a lot of people believe he's just going to be a Pro Bowl player right away because he can really collapse the pocket, just like what Calais Campbell is known for in his NFL career.
All right, I got a funny thing here. I saw this on one of the spots today about, I think it was Zay Jones from Boston College. He had two teams take him out to dinner. So he had to make a decision. Am I having an appetizer on one and the steak on the other? Yeah. I mean, what am I doing here? Am I double dipping? Okay, when you were entering the NFL, did you go out to dinner with any team? And were you put in the same position?
No, that never happened. I think when they came to work me out at Michigan State, the one funny story is Ken Anderson, the former quarterback for the Bengals. So I go over, they say, hey, the Bengals are here. And I thought I had to go and work out. So I went to the locker room and, you know, put on my sweats and stuff to go work out. And I remember Ken Anderson, he goes, no. He goes, we're going to go right up to the Harrison Roadhouse and have a beer. You know, I just want to talk to you. So it was pretty funny. And I didn't know this. Kenny owned a whole bunch of breweries. So we just went up, had a beer, and talked football. I mean, that was like the one time I got taken out. That was it.
That was it, huh? Wine and dine, a beer. Hey, you'll take it.
That's
Anderson. More your speed.
I watched him as a kid, man. I love Ken Anderson.
Oh, gosh. He was unbelievable for the Cincinnati Bengals, an Illinois area product for sure. We'll be talking to Bears running back Deontay Foreman coming up here shortly here on Bears Weekly with Jim Miller. I'm Jeff Joniak. Do you like the fact if you're a player, as Downs, the kid from North Carolina, says he's got no visits? Does that make you worry as a player? Do they feel you checked all the boxes? That's one. And if you're that player, are you starting to wonder a little bit, despite the encouragement probably from your agent or whatever, but then the guy who's got to go on 5 or 7 trips and he's exhausted from heading all these teams and going to dinners like this?
No, I don't think – well, he's probably got a little anxiety, like, hey, why aren't these teams, you know, whining and dining me? But you got to remember, too, he's got a pro background for him. When you look at Dre Bly, I think is his cousin. You know, and you look at Gary Downs, his dad, is a coach as well. So I'm sure Dre, who's now on the Detroit Lions staff, this is a very productive player. All right, there are no character concerns. So a lot of teams, when they don't invite you in for a visit, you know, I never met with the Steelers. They came to my pro day, but I never talked to them once, but they drafted me. You know, and I think that happens to a lot of guys where they don't want to bring a player in or visit with a player where it puts maybe a radar screen on him, you know. And I think when you look at Josh Downs, he is a very productive receiver there from Carolina. The production the last 2 years, I mean, think about it. They lost Sam Howell now. He got drafted to Washington, and then Drake May comes in there, and he has over 1,000 yards again and 11 touchdowns. So he improved even in the touchdown area. So he's a nice slot receiver. A lot of people think he's like a Kadarius Toney type of player. Kadarius Toney went 22 overall or 21, I think, to the Giants, ultimately traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's a world champion. But I think a lot of people feel that way about Josh Downs. He's got the football background with his family, very productive player. There's no character issues. He's kind of checked all the boxes, and he's got the great times. He had a 38-inch vertical, and then at his pro day did a 42-inch vertical, and he's got a 10-11 broad. So he's kind of checked every box. So I believe he's getting drafted. May not be in the first round, but he's going to be a solid player.
Are you more apt to fall in line with like a group of players, like say three, when you do your mock drafts? Because all these mock drafts keep coming out every Monday, Tuesday, when you name it, they're fresh ones coming out. And now I think they're starting to change up a little bit, maybe just for fun, because you got all those quarterbacks, you're likely to be gone in that top 10, certainly. But do you fall in line with the popular belief of what guys are looking, or do you – go for some shock and awe a little bit when you start doing this?
No, I just, you know, you try and follow the tea leaves. You know, most of the pro day numbers are in now. If most of the pro days are over with, and now it's, you know, just getting to know other stories about players. Like, think of Stetson Bennett, the quarterback from Georgia, right? That video just gets released by TMZ, right? Everybody, see, and here's what's funny is for Bennett, this guy's been a national champ 2 years in a row, and he's got very good production on tape, but everybody's like, oh, he's small. Well, Bryce Young could be the first quarterback taken, and he's an inch taller than Bryce Young. And he's got every bit the credentials and numbers of Bryce Young. And so I think you got to dive into him. I think he's a Drew Brees type of player. I don't know how much that'll hurt him with that tape that came out. I think he's more embarrassed about it than anything. But he's a good quarterback and a very productive quarterback who was with Todd Monken's down there who called the plays. So he's prepared. He's a good player that really nobody's talking about other than the off the field. And you have to do your due diligence there. But again, he's got a football background and family pedigree that – you know, he's worthy to be after that group of four quarterbacks. He's probably, by production alone, should be the fifth guy taken, in my opinion.
All right, we'll talk more about the quarterbacks. Some interesting talk from Carolina about number one. And we come back, we will talk some offensive line. We'll start looking ahead to the tackles with Jim Miller. I'm Jeff Joniak. This is Bears Weekly here on AM 1000, ESPN Radio on the Chicago Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Three weeks from tip-off, it's the NFL Draft, and we'll start breaking down the positions here on Bears Weekly. Good to have you alongside Charlie Bevins, our producer, Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak with you on this beautiful night in Chicago after the rain and storms move through the course of the week. Jim, it's supposed to be 80s here in Chicago next week.
Beautiful.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I'm down with it, too. I'm done with winter. I'm done with winter.
So. Yes, you're a little further north, so you're still getting that cold weather. But the rain and storms were something else. All right, let's dig into the tackles. It's certainly a hot topic here in Chicago. As you look at this group, we're not going to certainly go through every player, but more specifically what the Bears might be looking for. They like guys, obviously, to be road grading run blockers, get out there to the second level, and also with the wide zone run game, but also they need pass protection for one of the unique quarterbacks in the NFL right now in Justin Fields. What types of guys are you looking at that tackle position?
Well, you got Broderick Jones. He's an athlete. He can recover quickly. From Georgia, he's a big man that just can absolutely move. Paris Johnson there at the tackle from Ohio State, smart. He's worked with Willie Anderson since high school. Many think Willie Anderson is a Hall of Fame player, and Paris Johnson is about as good as it gets, in my opinion. You know, you've got the bigger guys out there, like everybody's talking about Tennessee, the player Darnell Wright. I think aren't the Bears one of the teams that are bringing in Darnell Wright? I believe they are.
Yes.
I mean, that is a big right tackle who can physically move people, all right? And then you got guys.
Can I stop you right there? Because when you say big, he's 6'5 and an eighth and 340.
I know. He's a big dude. I mean, that's
a road
grader.
Big guy, and he can move. He can move.
He can physically jolt you with his hands and basically steer you any way he wants you to go. I mean, so he is a – I think he's driving up the draft boards right now. He will go in the first round, is my opinion. And then you've got other guys that are out there that, you know, at the tackle position. Matt Bergeron from Syracuse, he had a really good Senior Bowl week. All right, he's from Montreal, and you wouldn't think this because a lot of Canadians, and I played with a lot of Canadians at Michigan State. I mean, it takes them a while to adjust because they don't play a lot of the American game. It's different up there. But he came in right away, and he graded out as one of the best offensive linemen for Syracuse on the PFF grades. He played right away and has played well. And so Paul Alexander works with a lot of these guys and speaks highly of them, but this is a really good tackle draft. There's a ton. I mean, Blake Freeland from BYU, he's a four-year starter. The guy's 6'8" and had a 37 vertical. Nobody's talking about that guy. I mean,
he's
sub-5,
unbelievable. Yep.
Yeah, and a sub-5 40. And I think his broad jump was incredible as well. Other guys, a lot of people have fallen down on Ryan Hayes a little bit, the Michigan tackle. He only gave up one sack this year, played at the left tackle spot, and he's really fluid, and he's a good athlete. He's from good stock when you look at his mom and dad. But they put him at right tackle at the Senior Bowl, and he struggled a little bit. And so everybody's asking him, what was the problem? And he's just like, hey, I played right tackle before. He goes, but I was just setting too high. He goes, that's something I believe I can physically correct moving forward. But he's a really good player. How about Anton Harrison, the tackle from Oklahoma?
I was about to bring him up. 6'4", 315, all of 21 years of age, but a mammoth big dude who can move as well, sub 540.
Yep.
And he did have 24 reps, but he played left tackle. He played right tackle some last season as well. But the best quote I heard about it, blocks like he means it. So that tells me enough right there.
4.98. His change of direction is like ridiculous. I mean, this guy can really recover, and a lot of people like him as well. You've got other guys, Jackson Kirkland, the kid from Washington. He was a left tackle and played left tackle, blew out his ankle, literally shredded every ligament in his ankle that it was like just hanging on. And so recovered from that. They put him at left guard, but Paul Alexander works with him. He says he can play both, and he's recovered. He's big. He's strong. He's another 6'7 guy. There's a lot of good tackles in this draft.
Yeah, and Paul Alexander, of course, former longtime Bengals offensive line coach, and has done a lot of good stuff in the draft here the last several years. Where are you at on Northwestern's Peter Skoronski?
I like him. I think a lot of people – I think you're going to try him at tackle. I think you have to and see if he can survive. And then if not, you kick him in the guard, because some will have the issue with the arm length, and he's not the ideal length that you want at tackle. You know, a lot of people like that, those 6'5 guys that are out there, he falls just short of that and his arm length. But he's an athletic kid. He's another kid who comes from good stock with his grandfather and all that, and he's a good player, and he probably is going in the first round. He's a solid player, without a doubt, and a smart player.
All right, I asked you this on text. Do you have a sleeper tackle in this group? I don't care what round.
For me right now, I would think it would be that Ryan Hayes, you know, because a lot of people had him dropping. People were like walking away from the Senior Bowl boy, that was really unimpressive just from the one-on-ones at the right tackle spot. But I think he'll be fine. You know, he's going to go later in the draft, but I think he'll be a solid player when it's all said and done. And, you know, he's played at Michigan. He's played in Power 5. He's played in big games. He's asked to do all the pro principles that you're asked to do, and I think he'll be a good player at the next level.
Yeah, there's so many guys, the different shapes and sizes. But, you know, you mentioned the shuttle and so forth. And I know a lot of folks don't want to get too caught up in that stuff. The number's certainly not a 40 for an offensive lineman. But it all adds up when you're talking about athleticism, you're talking about agility. So the significance of those three cone numbers being so low for a tackle, what is it telling you? What is it telling you for the shuttle and the cone?
Well, yeah, I think that's change of direction. It's quick twitch. It's the ability to recover. I mean, like those numbers that Blake Freeland that I threw out there, I mean, I've never heard of an offensive lineman doing that. 37-inch vertical? Are you kidding me? He only gave up 5 pressures, you know, graded out as high as any tackle in this draft. But when you get those low numbers like that, it's recoverability, right? And obviously for the guards, when they have that, because they're working in the phone booth anyway, they've got to be able to quickly set, anchor, re-anchor again if need be, and they've got the ability to do that. That's what those numbers tell you about their quick twitch and their ability to change direction, or what we talk about for offensive linemen, it's mirroring your opponent, right? They got to mirror the defensive lineman. If he tries to go inside, you mirror him, get there quickly to wall him off, so to speak, and then they're going to have a counter move, and you're able to change a direction and adjust to that, and you're getting that sumo fight on the inside. But you've got the balance and the change of direction to be able to do that and shift your weight really quickly.
All right, last one before we take a break. Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak here on Bears Weekly on ESPN 1000 and the Bears Radio Network. Are you looking at Cody Mauch as a tackle or a guard? Are you trying him first at tackle and knowing he can play guard, or where are you at on him?
I'm putting him at tackle. This guy, literally, out of all the guys in this draft, he is the most physical offensive lineman in this draft. the most physical and probably the most vertical or versatile, because he can play all five offensive line positions. Absolutely crushed it in the one-on-ones down in Mobile. Yeah, I know he's a North Dakota State tackle and he's going against the big boys. He had no problem doing it and did it with authority. But they even put him at center. He dominated there too. Went out to right tackle, dominated there because he's the most physical. He just imposes his will on anybody. And plus, if you were to put him at guard, he can move. Go look at his numbers. You could pull that guy. Power plays are on the table. You know, wide receiver screens where you need your offensive line to get down the field and make those blocks. It's no problem for him at all. No problem. He loves it. And I forget what his major was because he's a farmer. He's like
an ag engineer.
Yeah, he's like unbelievable. He's like, I just go back and work on the farm. And I mean, who doesn't want that guy?
What's a sweet spot for him, draft-wise?
He could go in the first round. I really believe that. I mean, even Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, everybody came away from that Senior Bowl a believer in him. So but I'd say if he goes late first round, but minimum or high second at the latest for him. Like I said,
great personality. Great personality, loves the game. Certainly he's got the hair and the no teeth and all that, so he's got some character to him. But the thing I love when you watch some of his highlights, he doesn't just finish a guy. He buries a guy, and then he barrel rolls over the top of him just for fun. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of guy you want around here. Yeah. I like that kind of thinking. All right, we'll look at the guards coming up next here on Bears Weekly. We first break on ESPN 1000 and the Chicago Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Breaking down the NFL draft coming up here, end of the month, and it's clock's ticking, man. It's ready to roll. Boards are getting stacked. Final thoughts. Scouts are coming in. Top 30 visits continue. Pro days are pretty much done. Injured players getting some rechecks. When's that coming, Jim?
Yeah, I think in the next week they'll have the medical rechecks in Indianapolis. So, yeah, it should be coming, I think, next week that happens.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's any of significance that you personally are interested in finding out about, but I'm sure there's a few that could impact where guys are going to wind up based on surgeries. I mean, Hendon Hooker's first one, I don't know if he's going to have a medical recheck or if he's ready to roll, but that quarterback's getting a lot of love lately.
And he should. He's a really good player, very talented. And, again, I think you're playing the long game with him. You know, you draft him, and you're not going to play him. Obviously, he's not going to be healthy enough, in my opinion, and he'll still be working along. And I think that's how you want to approach it. And I think that tempers the enthusiasm, too, of the fan base, knowing that you draft a player who is injured. I mean, think of how well it worked out for Jameson Williams last year for the Detroit Lions, right? They trade up to 12, draft an injured player. I don't think he got on the field until December.
I think it works out better for a quarterback, too.
Yeah, you know, especially, I think you know. So. I mean, let's say if Indianapolis did take him at 4 and shocked everybody, think about that. That doesn't put pressure on Steichen. You know, if anything, the fan base is going to be like, all right, I think everybody really likes him. They know he's smart. He's a 25-year-old. He's mature. He's got the guy probably would have won the Heisman if he finished the year for Tennessee. So you've got a lot of excitement. You can sell hope. But yet, hey, we're going to take our time. We're going to play the long game with him, Gardner Minshew, and who knows, maybe they sign Cam Newton, you know, whoever. You know, say, hey, we're just going to, you know, bring this guy along the right way and let him heal. And Colts fans would probably be ecstatic about that.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in our final segment, the whole quarterback thing going on in the league with Cam and Lamar and all that. Let's dig into the interior offensive line back in the trenches with Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio. Moving the chains, Bears already added Nate Davis to the mix. Yeah, Tevin Jenkins off a good season last year. You got Cody Whitehair potentially looking at the center spot. Lucas Patrick, hopefully healthy and ready to compete. You got Braxton Jones at the tackle position. But the interior of the offensive line is significant as anything, as the Bears running game has really feasted on giving the football to the backs and heavy run game with Justin Fields helping out as well. So I'm going to throw one right out of the gate because a lot of these guys could be guard or center. I'm going to start with Steve Avila from TCU, a guy from Arlington, Texas, played there, stayed at home, captain, a big dude who's got a lot of good character with him. Remember the unsung hero of their national title team that competed for that. Where are you playing him, or do you want to test him in one or the other, or do you just like the versatility?
Yeah, well, I'm playing him at guard. I mean, because he's 332 pounds. Go look at him even when they're getting smoked in the champ game. That dude, I mean, again, he's a powerful guy who competes, man. That guy just gets after it. I mean, the score, whatever it was it 65-7? I forget what the score was. But, I mean, even at towards the end of the game, dude, that guy's pancaking, guys. I mean, so he just competes. And so I do think he's, you know, he's well thought of as a guard. I would think the first guard taken would be Cody Mock. Would be my opinion as this, or excuse me, not Cody Mock, but Osiris Torrence. Then yeah. I think Cody Mock, and then I think even Joe Tippmann from Wisconsin. To me, he's too
as a big. Guard.
I'm taking him as a guard. He's 6'6" as a center. To me, that's just a little too much length at that position. I'd put him at guard. So I think Osiris Torrence of Florida will probably be the first guard. Then I think Cody Mock. He'll be drafted as a guard, in my opinion. Because you can pull him and do things with him. So you got to think more G schemes with him and power schemes, I think, for him. Joe Tippmann, then I think, would be the third guard taken. And then I think Avila, that's where he would go right after those guys went.
All right, let's talk about Torrence. He was at the Senior Bowl. He followed Billy Napier to Florida after Louisiana. Went there, became a first-team All-American and SEC, All-SEC right guard. The man they call Cybo, his mother called him Cyborg growing up because just look at him. He's a boxy 6'5 and 3'8 at 330. What do you feel about him? Because I liked how he played during the course of that week. He does have that straightforward power in his game. What else do you like about him?
I think he's a day one starter. He's an old school road grader. So he's got heavy hands. He's not a guy you're going to pull or do anything that with. He's just going to move another guy who can just physically move the opponent. You know, there's very few times does that happen in the NFL. There's some teams out there that can do it. Like I think the Lions, their offensive line, they can physically move the defensive line. And that's what this guy does. You know, you're going to, he's just a massive offensive lineman that's just going to wear you out. And, again, he can kind of steer you with his heavy hands. As soon as he gets them on it, it's over, man. It's over. So he's, you know, he's probably will be, like I said, probably the first guy taken.
And what do you think of the class in general, depth-wise?
Tackles, I think there's a ton of depth at tackles, like it's interior overall, because, like you said, you can switch some centers to guards. Like we just mentioned, Tippmann, it's a good group. It's a good group of offensive linemen. You know, one guy who we didn't bring up is Emil Ekior. You know, he's the 3-year starter at Alabama. You know, he's a really good player as well. You know, it's unfortunate for the other interior guard because he showed his toughness at the combine. Andrew Voorhees, that he tore his ACL. You know, he'll have to get the medical recheck, but I put up 225 like 38 times the day after he tore his ACL.
Gotta respect it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really good player. That's going to hurt him. He'll probably drop a couple of rounds because, again, you'll be playing the long game with him. But there are guys, you know, from last year, from, as I mentioned, Williams, who did, the Lions traded up to 12. I think he's the highest drafted player with a torn ACL or a medical issue like that. But Willis McGahee, he's been drafted. There are other guys there are other guys. Kentavious Street, I think Philadelphia just signed him. He was with the 49ers. The 49ers, he tore his ACL at his pro day, and the 49ers still took him in the third round. So I think Voorhees, he may go around later than that, like fourth or fifth, because he just tore his Achilles. I think he was scheduled to go around bottom of the second, you know, third round, essentially. He may drop a round because of that injury that he sustained at the combine.
All right, let's look at the pivot. John Michael Schmitz, the Homewood Flossmore product, so a local guy, big Bears fan, parents, grew up Bears fan. There's some other fans in that family, he told me as well, but a very likable guy. Early on, there was a lot of talk about him in the first round. I don't know if that still is the case, the Remington finalist had the highest-graded offensive line grade, according to PFF, in college football, and the highest-graded run blocker. So a lot to like about him as a former champion wrestler as well.
Yeah, got the leverage, like he says, has the size. He's a leader, motivates his teammates. I think he is going in the first round. And everybody poo-poos that's not a good pick. It is a good pick. You know, you go back to the Nick Mangolds or Travis Frederick when the Lions or the Dallas Cowboys drafted him, or say the Pouncey brothers. That's a good pick, you know, and he's a good player, and he's deserving of it. He's smart. He was, again, fun to watch down at the Senior Bowl because, like, one time the offensive lineman, like, it's a really hot day down there that day. I think it was that Tuesday, and guys were kind of dragging. And so, like, he was sprinting from drill to drill, and he was screaming at the old lineman to get up there with him. And sure enough, everybody followed him. You know, everybody followed that guy. And, you know, I think he's going first round. There are a lot of teams that like John Michael Schmitz.
All right. Where are you at on Olu Oluwatimi from Michigan? 6'2.5", 309, a high character guy, transfer from Virginia. They did a great job with that Joe Moore Award offensive line there at Michigan, which they've done, I think, 2 years in a row. But bends a little at the waist. But what are your overall thoughts on his game?
Yeah, I think he's got size.
They like running the ball.
Yeah, that definitely. You know. Again, that's a pro style and how they run the football, and I'm with you there. I think, you know, he showed in the one-on-ones he could anchor and really get down. I know he's a little bit lighter at 6'3", 305, but he has the ability, again, if you're going to do wide receiver screen and stuff, he can slip, get to the second level, things like that. And, you know, I think, you know, he'll be a solid player. I don't think he'll be a day-one starter, in my opinion, but he'll be a solid guy when it's all said and done with his toughness.
All right, other ones to watch. Ricky Stromberg from Arkansas, lifelong Bears fan growing up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then I don't know if you've done any work, but I was working on this guy today. I don't know where he'll be picked in the draft. He's out of UCLA, but it's John Gaines, played center. You talk about all these explosion numbers and the agility numbers. He had the number one agility number in the shuttle at 4.45. Mm-hmm. He also had the highest overall agility score in the draft. And he just keep coming up. His name keeps coming up of late. What do you know about him?
Well, I don't know too much about him, but I'm just thinking of that style of offense because they ran the ball so well with Charbonneau, right? The running back there who had just an incredible year. And, again, you have all the check with me stuff because of Chip Kelly. You know, so again, that offense has performed at the NFL level, and that translates. And now you mentioned the center that can move, but I have not done a lot of work on him. But just what you say, it kind of translates with how they ran the football, and that he'd be a good fit.
The crazy thing too, as you dig deep in this, the stories of some of these guys, the things they've overcome every year in the draft. I'm always fascinated by that. We usually save that stuff for draft day when the emotion is there and they get picked, overcoming so many things. And almost all these guys, something, you know. And then the transfers and how they go from a small school to a big school and they get to be all conference or all American and proving they can compete against the very best and take it to the pros and see where they go. When we come back, we'll take a look at some news around the league today, quarterback position in particular, and get Jim's thoughts on a broader scope as the Bears get ready for the NFL draft, that ninth pick in round one in 3 weeks, right here on ESPN 1000 of the Bears Radio.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
In the home stretch of our show for this week, Jeff Joniak, Jim Miller, and we are rolling through some of the news of the day. It's going to be mostly about the draft. Let's start with Carolina. Jim, the number one pick, what Frank Reich and that staff is trying to work with in terms of making a decision, it's all over the map, including just reading a note on Twitter about apparently Reich's love for Richardson, but yet the idea now is Bryce Young when it maybe first was C.J. Stroud. Is this all a shell game?
Yeah. I think it is. I think you trade up to number one knowing who you want, right? That's just my opinion. I don't think you can give away what they gave away just to go up there and say, all right, let's do our homework and see who we really like to decide this. I think they had an idea all along when they did it, or at least you should have an idea who you're going at, and I think it's for those first two guys. You know, I think it's for either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. You know, again, and the owner is going to be a big part of that as well. And Frank's going to be a big part of that in who he wants to coach. You know, that's going to be a big part of it and bring along. So they've got to get it right. I think they have an idea what they're doing. But, yeah, I think it's all shell game, and everybody's just every day it's been a different guy that they've just fallen in love with. They've been on this magical trip tour, right? They've seen every quarterback. They were at every pro day. then went to the owners' meetings and finished up with Richardson was the last pro day. That was last Thursday. And so they've seen them all right up close and personal and have taken them all to dinner and got to, you know, hear all the answers straight from the quarterbacks. And I think it's who impressed them the most. And obviously, who do they feel that they can win with at the quarterback position?
I have a hard time getting Richardson out of my head. He is something.
He physically, I mean, did you hear anything about Richardson until the combine?
Yes, I did, but I know what you're saying. It did blow up, but I know that it's raw and it's 21 and it's not a lot of experience and 14 starts, but the toolbox is impressive.
Yeah, and he's raw. He hasn't played a lot. He's got a lot of work to do. And again, can you draft him and let him sit?
Yeah,
you know, are you going to have the patience to sit him? Because he's not a guy that you can throw in there right away. His upside, I mean, he is literally the classic boom or bust, right? Because he's got all the skills and is such a great athlete. And as everybody's been saying, if he doesn't work out at quarterback, he may be the best tight end in this draft. And this is a big tight end draft.
Isn't that crazy? That's quite the statement. All right, why are the Raiders hosting Bryce Young?
I think they're just doing their due diligence. A lot of times, you know, say if a player doesn't work out at another team, you still have gone through the process where, let's say he becomes available, and maybe he's a player you like to sign. And I always bring this up about Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel, supposedly, when he was coming out of Ohio State, and I think Bill Belichick knew the Steelers were going to get him, but Bill had brought him in and talked to Mike and said, you know, I don't think we're going to get a shot to take him.
I get that, but this is Bryce Young. This is the quarterback. You know what I mean? It's pretty much one or two, right?
You would think so.
Are they? Could there be something brewing there?
I don't think the Raiders have any shot of moving up there.
Okay.
To get him.
All right, let's talk about Cam Newton. I had a chuckle. I know the guy wants to play, and I do not fault a guy for wanting to get back in there and get it back in the saddle. But he lists the quarterbacks that he's willing to be a backup for. So Justin's on that list. Deshaun, Lamar, Tua, the two kid quarterbacks, Richardson as well, Hurts, Rodgers, Josh Allen, and Sam Howell. Well, as a former quarterback and that kind of statement, how do you feel about that?
I think he's a week too late because wasn't he just at his pro day last week at Auburn tweeting out that there's not 32 better than me, which basically said, I believe I'm a starting quarterback. So it seems a little disingenuous a week later that maybe he thought about it and said, nah, there's kind of no upside in what I tweeted last week. And now I better kind of retract that a little bit if I am going to have an opportunity. Because I think a lot of teams would have an issue with that. You know, here he just projects himself as a starter. Now he's going to come in and be a great team player to be a backup when he just said a week ago he believes he's still a starter. You know, that room's important. And how that room functions, how guys get along, harmony in it. You want a healthy, healthy quarterback situation. You know, I thought the Bears had one. You know, you look at how they insulated young Justin Fields with Andy Dalton and Nick Foles a couple years ago. That was good. Last year, I thought it was good for him. It was a healthy room.
Final 90 seconds. Ravens GM Eric DaCosta saying there's a chance they could pick a quarterback in round one.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I can. If one's
there.
You
can see that happening?
Let's say if Will Levis falls.
Yeah, 1 minute.
If Will Levis falls, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, they can't get their quarterback signed. And it came out the details of that contract. And they may have to go in a different direction because right now it's heading towards two franchise tags and he's out of there. So you cannot rule that out. And if he's the best player on their board for them to take, I think they potentially might be taking a quarterback.
And Mac Jones is not being shopped?
No, he's not being shopped. That's why they brought Bill O'Brien in there to rectify that.
All right, buddy. Another show on the books. Nice job. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Jim Miller. We'll talk to him next week from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to our executive producer, Bears Radio Network, Eric Ostrowski, our producer tonight, Charlie Bevins. Thanks to Dan Brilli and Jordan Tredip, and most of all, you for listening. We'll talk to you next week as we build to the draft. We'll take a look at the defensive side of the ball on the line of scrimmage. tackles and ends, and also look at the linebackers, previewing the upcoming draft here in a few weeks. That'll do it for us. Tyler Aki is coming up next. He'll be on from 7 to 8 here on AM 1000, ESPN Chicago, and the Chicago Bears Radio Network. We'll talk to you later. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears Weekly. Podcasts are available on the Chicago Bears official app. Brought to you by Verizon and Apple Podcasts. Bears Weekly has been brought to you by Bet Rivers and Miller Lite.